Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, thank you, Dan Hurst. Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton and Mark Halleck.
Hey, what's up,
and
man?
And we're here in Linwood, Kansas, doing this series of podcasts from Linwood Baptist Church. Today, we're going to talk about the danger of denial. Now, many dying churches deny that they're really dying. We might have a problem, but we're really not dying. We're not that bad. There are other churches that are worse. How can we be dying? We still meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Years ago, a group read my book, and they said, hey, we read your book. We've got some issues in our church. Would you come out and speak to us on a Sunday night? Or Wednesday night, I forget which it was. And I said, sure. It was like 3 hours away, but I got in my car and I drove 3 hours. And I get there, and it's a building built in the 1980s. It's not an old church. It's a relatively new church, less than 30 years old. And and they were all sitting in the front of the sanctuary in a circle. There were about six or seven of them. So I walked in, introduced myself, and they said, yeah, we've got your book. We like it. It's a great book. I said, well, tell me about your church. Well, we've really been in decline the last few years, and I said, well, how many do you have on Sunday morning? They said, well, this is it. I said, really? Yeah, this is all we have. The seven of us. This is all that's left. And I said, well, man, there's a lot of work to do. He said, yeah. But he said, I want you to know, as much as we love your book, we're not one of those dying churches that you talk about.
Oh, man.
You can't make this up.
Dead serious.
Dead serious.
Oh, wow.
We're not that way. I said, what do you mean? He said, we just need to find the right pastor. So we thought you knew some revitalization pastors, and you could help us find the right pastor. Folks, that's denial.
Yeah.
When you've gone from 150 to 7,
yeah.
You got a problem that just the right pastor's yeah. not going to fix.
That's right.
And dying churches that refuse to see their true situation, man, it is not a good thing for the kingdom. It's not a good thing for the neighborhood. It's not a good thing for the people who remain. Man, it can really be damaging to deny that we actually have a problem.
Yeah.
And we're doing this from an article that Rainer wrote a long time ago. We'll put it on the show notes. But some of you who are listening, your churches are in denial. They won't even admit to you that, Pastor, we have a problem. They may think, Pastor, you're the problem.
Yeah.
You know, if you were better, we wouldn't be in denial or be in decline. But we're in denial that we really are in decline.
Yeah.
And so here's some dangers of continuing to deny the reality.
Yep.
You know, facts are our friends.
Yep.
And again, talking about Dr. Rainer, both of us have experienced this. We've talked about it before. We'll go do an assessment with a church, and we'll say, okay, send us all of your documentation, all of your history for the last 10, 15 years. And they'll send us all of their statistics for the last 10 or 15 years and put them on an overhead or put them on a PowerPoint slide. Overhead. That shows you how long.
An overhead.
Overhead.
I'd love to see that.
I am so old. Put them on a PowerPoint. I love it. Put them on it. Remember doing worship with overheads?
Oh, yeah.
And you had to slide it in there, and sometimes they were upside down. But anyway, or you put it in the copier and you use the wrong thing and it melts the overhead slide. That's a whole nother
story.
Dude,
we need a t-shirt that says Making Overheads Great Again.
That would be good.
That'd be a great t-shirt.
Making Overhead Great. So we had a slide, we had a PowerPoint, and we would show the decline, right? Here's where you were in 1980. Here's where you were in 1990. Here's where you were in 2000. Here's where you are in 2010. Here's where you're going. And invariably, Dr. Rainer and I both have had churches that have looked at that and goes, well, that's not right. What do you mean that's not right? Well, that can't be right. Well, it's your numbers. Yeah, but we're not that bad. They can look at the statistics and say, we refuse to believe we're that bad. Now, because if they believe they're that bad, it's going to really cause them to make some tough decisions.
Yep.
So here are some of the problems that come when we deny,
when you live in denial,
where we are. Go ahead.
Okay, so number one is, let's be honest, the problems are only going to worsen.
They're not going to get better.
They're not going to get better.
No.
Nothing's going to turn around.
And think about it in your own life. I mean, how many times as a younger guy especially, I had no money. I still don't have much, but man, when I spent almost my life as a poor preacher, number one, and as a preacher who didn't make much money, number two. So anyway,
those often work together.
Yeah, I know. So every now and then, you know, the check engine light would come on, or some warning light would come on, you know. And so what do? You just ignore it, or you'd hear this really loud noise in my engine. I did this so often, and I just turned the radio up. It's like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't have the money to deal
with
this.
It'll fix itself.
Right. All right. Or my tires would be really bad, and I'd pull into some place, and they go, man, they all four need to be replaced. And I go, which one needs to be replaced the worst? And I would replace them like one at a time, so they never wore evenly. Oh, it was a mess. Denial doesn't make it go away.
That's right.
It makes it worse.
It only makes it worse. Okay, here's number two. Future generations are forsaken.
That is why, ladies and gentlemen, when you walk into many declining churches, there's nobody left but old people.
Mm.
Because the young people will not stay in such a place. Mm. We did a podcast just recently about millennials and how they want authenticity. They don't come to church just because they're supposed to come to church anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you've got a church that's in decline, that's not making a difference in the neighborhood, that's not making disciples, your young people are not going to stay there. You're going to lose a whole generation. And guys, I've never been in a dying church in my life that said we've got too many young people between the ages of 18 and 35.
Hmm.
And so denying the problems you have will cause you to forsake an entire generation. And no one wants to do
that. That's right. Here's another one. Is leaders will have regrets. And here's what Rainer says. Says true leaders, both staff and laity, desire to make a difference in this world. They desire for their churches to make a difference. These leaders will regret their failures to admit the problems exist.
Yeah, long term, they're not going to feel good about this.
No, that's right.
And denying it right now, kicking the can down the road, pretending like it's really not that bad, it makes you not have to face it for today. But eventually, there'll come a comeuppance.
Yes.
And people will realize, and I've seen this, Mark, in so many churches. 4 or 5 years ago, I met with a church that had been around 400 in attendance in its best years, was down to about 40, all elderly people. And they knew that something was wrong, but they loved each other. They loved their church. So we brought in a congregation that was going to adopt them, a church that averaged about 200, that was full of young people that needed a building, a Southern Baptist church, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
And theologically, they were on the same page.
Yeah.
And so it went really well for a while, this conversation of adopting. And then the new church that was going to adopt the older church made it clear that they were going to put a little coffee bar in the back of the vestibule.
Hmm.
And the older church said, okay, but you're not going to bring coffee in the sanctuary, are you?
Huh. Oh, boy.
And they said, well, sure. And I'm thinking, okay, we can work this out.
Yeah.
It was a deal breaker.
Seriously?
Yeah. The 40 people in that church said, no, and we're not happening that. You're not bringing coffee in our sanctuary.
Oh, my word.
And so I met with the younger church, and I said, I think we can work this out. And the younger church said, no, I don't think we can, because if that is so important to them, we are so far off missiologically, we're never going to get together.
Boy.
And so they went to another dying church, adopted it. Today, that church has about 450 in
attendance.
Thriving,
yeah.
After COVID, that declining church finally got down to about 15 people, and they finally said, "Okay, we've got to give this thing away now." And they had to walk away. But the leaders have great regrets,
sure,
because
do.
Listen, Mark, they knew they should have made that decision 4 years earlier.
Yeah,
denying that we really have kicking it down the road.
Yeah.
You can just see it in the face of those older believers that we shouldn't have turned that church away.
Yes.
It didn't. It's gotten such, I mean, it's hard for them to do that.
Yep.
Denying it will just make your leaders have regrets.
You know,
later
Clifton,
on.
Just hearing that, such a powerful story. I just want to say this. This episode, I think, could be really helpful to share with some folks who might be in this place, quite frankly, to help bring to light. I think the regrets is really true. Here's the next one, is churches will miss opportunities for solutions. It's amazing to see what the body of Christ can do when it works biblically together, but you have to begin by admitting there's a need.
It's where I live. It's my life. I mean, I go to these churches, they call us, if you're an associational missionary, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're a state convention leader, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because state convention leaders and associational missionaries, we get called all the time to churches who are having some struggles. and they're declining, and their decline is drastic, and we talk to them and say, look, here's some opportunities for solutions. Here's a church that would like to come alongside you and foster you. Mm-hmm. And what that means is you're going to have to give up some day-to-day leadership to this church. Here's a church that would like to come along and adopt you. They will come in, remodel your building, bring in 150 people all at once. Or here's a church that would like to make this church a campus. And invariably, many times, those churches will look at it and go, I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're that bad yet.
Yeah.
I think we just need to find the right pastor. I think we can do this on our own. And they miss the opportunity.
Right.
Yep. Here's the deal. These people, these dear saints have been praying that Jesus would do something for their church.
Yeah.
So he shows up and says, here's what I want to do. And they go, no, that's not the thing we're looking at. We'd like plan number B, please. And the Lord says, there isn't a plan number B.
Yeah.
And so they miss that opportunity.
Wow, man. That's so true. Okay, and the next one, there's no urgency for change. There's no urgency for change. The gospel and biblical truths are unchanging, right? We know that. But the world's changing rapidly. We've talked about that many times. Churches in denial have no urgency to change.
No, in fact, it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
Because the culture's changing so rapidly, the church is the one island in that sea of change
that's
the same, and they hang out on that island.
Yeah.
I want
keep it the same.
I want to walk in the same. I want to park in the same parking spot. Walk in the same door. Go to the same Sunday school classroom, and sit there with the same picture of Jesus praying in Gethsemane above the door. And I want to walk into the sanctuary, sit in the same pew, look at the same pulpit, look at the same baptistry painting. I want to know the same songs. Yeah. I want to know we're going to have business meeting once a month. I want to the absolute familiarity of that in a world that's so unfamiliar becomes an idol.
Yes.
And we find our security in the familiarity of that rather than in the gospel.
And so true.
There's no urgency for change.
Yeah.
And you see the church decline and grow older and people pass away and no young people. I was the transitional pastor of a church recently that in the 1980s had built a whole new building for children and youth. And I would walk from the church office to the sanctuary on Sunday mornings. Are you ready for this? This was not an old building, built in the 1980s. It's not like a 100-year-old building. I would walk past a door that said first grade, and then second grade, and then third grade, and fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade to get to the sanctuary. Those rooms had not been used in years. Mm. There were no children in the church.
Yeah. Wow.
And you walk from one end of that building to the other to get to the sanctuary, and there's no children. There's a room there with equipment and things. There's a sign on the door, and there's no children there. And it's like, where's the urgency?
Yes,
it says, we can't, this is not normal.
Yeah,
there are kids all over this neighborhood who don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
They're not in this building. Mm. And there's this sense of, well, you know, we used to have kids here. It'd be nice if we did. But where's the urgency? Churches in denial lose that urgency. And something that should never be considered normal becomes normal.
That's right. And that's why we often talk about, man, revitalization begins on your knees. You've got to lead your people. Lord, break our hearts again for the lost, for this community, because only God can do that. Otherwise, we're going to choose safety every time. Okay, here's the next one. Maintenance ministries engender frustration and conflict.
Yeah, churches in denial try very few things new and challenging. They tend to be totally focused on keeping things the same.
Mm.
And such a posture like that is frustrating to anybody who has any passion to reach people and grow. And they'll leave.
They won't stick around. That's right.
I mean, it's all about maintaining what we have, holding on to it, not making any changes, again, for the reasons we just said. So any change agents you might have in that church, any people who might have a passion to do something new engaging, they're going to get so frustrated they're going to leave.
Yeah.
The other people are not going to leave.
Right.
They're going to stay there.
And they're
going to
be happy when those folks do leave.
Right. But it also creates conflict.
Yeah.
Whenever you refuse to make the changes you need to make, those who want to make the changes, there's going to be conflict before they eventually leave, and then they will eventually leave.
Yep. Okay, we got a few more here. So churches in denial, are usually disobedient. They're usually disobedient. They can be disobedient, and we could talk about to the Great Commission, right? To the Great Commandment. They can refuse to obey some of the challenging commands of Scripture because why? It will Get them out of their comfort zones. That's sure. the bottom line. That's a lot of what we're talking about.
Sure. Maybe something as simple as sharing your building with another congregation. Again, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes this work that the Lord's given me the privilege of doing, like working, is like walking through knee-deep mud. Mm. Because you'll come to a church that's got a huge building and a handful of people, and you'll say, okay, you don't want to become adopted. You don't want to become fostered. You don't want to become a campus. You don't want to become a replant. But how about if we let another church plant share this facility with you? And they come with all kind of reasons why that probably won't work. Mm. Everything from insurance to who's going to lock it up. All kinds of reasons. It's like, where's the Great Commission in this? Where you really think when you get to heaven, the Lord's going to look at totally. You and go, hey, you know, when that Hispanic church, that Laotian church, that young church reaching college students, when they wanted to use that building and you told them no, you think the Lord's going to go, good call.
Good job.
That was great.
You honored me.
They might have dirtied up that building and there might have been some increased cost. And you, of course not.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the disobedience that causes because we're focused not on the kingdom, but upon ourselves.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's no joy in that.
No. That's right. Well, and this leads to the next one. He says, many of these churches will tolerate open and flagrant sin. Yeah. Churches in denial tolerate mediocrity.
Yep.
They're not rocking the boat. They're not pushing each other toward holiness.
No.
They're not walking by faith
anymore.
And
they may have some member who's just a total basket case who can make a problem out of anything. In other words, the church may say, you know, maybe we need to let that other church use our building. And you may even put together a small group to explore it, and they come back and they make a recommendation to the larger church and say, we think we need to let the... And then this guy or this lady or this family who's always been a problem, they stand up and they say, well, I don't think we should because I know a church that did that, and this happened and then that happened, and we got some problems with some insurance and all this other stuff. And people may say, I think we should do this, but you know what? He's never going to be quiet about it. And if he's going to cause such a fuss, I got so much problems in my life right now and stress in my life right now. I don't want to hear this for the next 6 years. So let's just table it right now.
Yeah.
That's where we say we tolerate sin.
Yeah. Wow.
You can let the most unprayed up church member derail something.
Mm.
You're tolerating sin. And again, that goes back to church discipline and everything else.
That's right. Okay, we got two more.
All right.
The church, and you mentioned this earlier, and it's just true. The church will lose its best members. If you're in denial and you just stop looking at reality,
they're not going to stay.
They're not going to stick around. And then the last one is comfort becomes an idol.
And I've already mentioned that.
Yeah.
We an idol, among other things, is something you run to for comfort, meaning, and security. And you find your idol in the sameness of the church, the predictability of the church. And actually, you don't want the church to be predictable.
That's right.
You want to come every Sunday and say, I have no idea what could happen here. The Holy Spirit's going to show up and something totally unexpected could happen.
Amen.
We don't want unexpected.
That's right.
We want predictable.
Yeah.
If you want predictable, you're wanting the wrong thing.
And you're not walking by faith, man. You got to trust the Lord.
This is
His church.
That's
it's not yours. It's
so
not mine.
So denial of needing revitalization, denial that you're in decline, is a very dangerous place.
Very dangerous place.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us. You can please hit that little button. It's not a button. What is it? To subscribe.
What? To subscribe? I don't know.
What is
just
it?
Just subscribe.
Do something. Just to subscribe.
Please, subscribe.
Just subscribe and tell somebody about it. I mean, honestly, our hope and prayer, it really is that this would be helpful, that it'd be encouraging. And so if you've got a buddy or a friend or a church leader,
grab their phone when they're not looking and subscribe. Do it for them. Grab all your kids' phones and subscribe. We just need all the subscribers that we can have. No, we'd love to have you. And to check with us, we're on 10 times a month.
Which is a lot.
But we like doing it.
We love doing it.
All right. See you later.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.